morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm Jim Pollard, pastor here at Christ Church. It's great to see you here. Some of you, it's bright and early on a Sunday morning, and you're not used to being here this early. So welcome. It's delightful to see you, and that you remembered to get up and get out at this time of day, which you probably didn't know existed. I don't know. Very good to have us all here together this morning as we participate in the life and the mission of our church. Two scripture readings this morning. The first is from the second chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, verses 1 through 11. When we're ordained as elders in the church, we place our hand on a Bible as we offer our ordination vows, and we can choose the passage to which we want it open. This is the passage that has been central to me throughout my ministry. If there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in one accord, full accord, and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God or as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. Being born in human likeness and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And in the Gospel, according to Matthew, in the 25th chapter, we have these very, very familiar words. Jesus is speaking at this point, and he says, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly, I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will also answer, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you? Then he will answer them, truly I tell you, just as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. May these words be the word of God to us on this day. Let us pray. Oh God, now touch us with your Spirit, that we might know of your presence with us at this time and at all times, so that our lives might be shaped by the life of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This is a very short sermon today. The truth hurts, doesn't it?
Did you get his name?
Because you are the sermon today. Read an article recently. I'm not sure quite how it came into my possession. It was something that had been found online and plunked on my desk to read, and it was by a member of the millennial generation. We have any millennials in the congregation this morning? I hate to single you out, but I doubt. Thank you, Don Krytoff. You're about as much a millennial as I am, Don. As I read through the article, the message that came through from this young man, and it happened to be a young man who wrote the article, he's somewhere in his, late 20s, early 30s, basically saying, I'm really tired of a lot of pious pronouncements, and you don't really need to give me a lot of words, and go ahead and have your meetings and your gatherings and so on. But what I want to see is you living out what you say you believe. I want you to be out there in the midst of the world that I live in, where people have real questions and where they're wrestling with very, very serious issues, and we're not finding answers. This article had a statistic in it that says, 53% of millennials see no need for the church at all. And about 33% believe that religion has done more bad than good in the world. I could get it into a really vigorous conversation with folks with that understanding. I mean, walk into any hospital and be thankful that centuries ago churches took care of the sick. Walk into any college or university and be thankful that churches founded institutions of higher education all over this world. Walk anywhere you go in the world, you see stupendous amounts of good, but they're not convinced. So we haven't sent a very good message, apparently. Now, what we're doing here today is simply finding ways, very simple ways, because that's what it's about, very simple ways, to live out what we say we believe about the love and the grace of God present in the midst of the world, reaching out to people who are in very different circumstances, different generations, different life situations, all of the rest. If the gospel has anything to say to us at all about our lives, then we ought to be able to find it right there in the actions and the words that the people who believe the gospel say they believe. And so we've identified, out of our own concern and awareness of the life of the community, opportunities for us to be in service, to empty ourselves, to put the interests of someone else ahead of our own interests. You can read, you can go to a bookstore and you can peruse the shelves. You can go to Amazon and hit the topic, and we can find there all kinds of titles that tell us how we can take advantage of other people to advance our own good in this world. I submit to you that that is not self-emptying. That is not the model of life that Christ holds up for us. And while we do not seek to do it perfectly, I'm sure that many of you and many of your friends and neighbors who are parts of religious traditions in this community and other congregations are sincerely seeking to do day in and day out as they encounter people who face challenging circumstances in their lives or very ordinary circumstances. So today we have a chance to be the church that we want to be. Doesn't mean that worship isn't important. It means that our lives have to be consistent. It was Amos who excoriated the Jewish community at his time. I hate your solemn assemblies. I'm tired of the noise of your solemn assemblies. Get out there and do something of ministry and service to the poor in this world. John Wesley, as he began to circulate across England, was passionate about the poor who had been left behind by a church that assumed its position of privilege in the society. And he called his people together to renew their faith, deeply believing that that would change the way they were living and would change the life of the villages and towns of England of his day, and it led to a world-changing movement that has an impact all over this world. Well, this is our corner of the world, right here. That world-changing movement exists right here in this room this morning, and what we're doing this morning is we're finding concrete ways to carry it out. So in that sense, you see, whenever we do this, we are the sermon, and everything we do and say is designed to equip us to put ourselves out there in love and in service to other people. So in that spirit, let's go. Let's enjoy this day, not because we feel so proud that we're so good. No. We're glad. We're glad that God has given us the resources and the time and the energy and the commitment to go out and make a difference in the life of this community and in the lives of the people whose lives will be touched today because you gave yourself to this ministry of Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God for calling us into this ministry together. Let's pray. God, we never know what you're going to put before us. All we can do is offer ourselves to be led by your Spirit to respond with compassion and care and courage and commitment and faithfulness to the ministries that need to be done in the times in which we live. Thank you for the gift of that opportunity. Equip us, we pray, to fulfill that in the very best way that we can. In the name and for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord.